Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come to you, and that is no little thing. That's a big thing. I think sometimes we take it for granted that we can even approach your throne. And so this evening we thank you that we can come to you. That you're a loving Father who hears our prayers. You care about everything in our lives, every detail. And so Lord, we thank you that you're going to care for us because you've promised. Lord, we also thank you that you've spoken, and as we head into looking at your scripture, we thank you that your word is true, it's sure, and it's the path of life. And so, Father, we pray that you would show us what is true in this text. Show our minds and our hearts what we need to hear, and we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this evening we're going to be back in Psalm 34. If you want to start heading over there in your Bible, and also you know that this evening it's actually a continuation of what we talked about two weeks ago. We're talking about fear, and it's an emotion that we all experience. We're all familiar with. I don't care how old or how young you are. We all get scared. We all get anxious, and a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, it's from a book by Ed Welch. It's called Running Scared. And I talked with a few of you guys a couple weeks ago, and some of you have read that. It's a really, really good book. I would commend it. I would recommend it for you. If this sermon speaks to you, I would say that's a good book to pick up and look at. So let me read the psalm, and then we'll look at it for just a bit. Psalm 34. Of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. And their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man? What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked. And those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 34. It's God's word. So the last time I went to a movie that really, really scared me was when I went to go see that movie Signs. Anybody see that movie? It was an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It was the one that had Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix, and I remember going to the movie, and I jumped a few times. It was really, really scary. It was a lot of fun, and it did get my heart racing. But the real problem was that what happened to, this also happened to me my first night at an apartment that I had rented for that upcoming year of college. So it was my first night like at this apartment, and my roommate actually hadn't shown up yet, and so I was all alone in this unfamiliar place. And the whole night, I would see little alien fingers coming underneath the door, or I thought I would see him. I mean, I was afraid. I had seen this movie. And so, just like the movie, and I would say to myself, it was silly. I would say to myself, like, I am 22 years old. This shouldn't be scaring me. But it did. And I couldn't sleep, and the movie got to me because, you know, I was scared. We saw this quote a couple weeks ago, but Stephen King said, I like to scare people, and people like to be scared. And so, let's face it. The adrenaline from a good scare at the movies or amusement park, I mean, it really can beat the best cup of coffee. But if we're honest, our love for fear goes a bit beyond these innocent pleasures. And so, for me, it was fun at the movies, like when I'm watching the aliens come and seeing people swipe at the aliens and splash the water in them and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but it wasn't fun when I was all at home in this, or at my new home in this unfamiliar place with noises I just didn't know the place. And so it got scary. And so it wasn't fun anymore. Well, so a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this passage and we're doing it through the lens of fear. And the reason is because of the words that are at the very beginning of the psalm. It's the introduction to the psalm. It says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out anyway, and he went away. And so, if you remember, this is the low point of David's life so far. And so here's what's going on. The king actually wants to kill David. David has just learned this. He's on the ropes. He's running. He's all alone. He had no help. He didn't have a bodyguard, no weapons. He didn't even have any food. And so he goes to the priests at Nob to get food. And he gets some of the consecrated bread, and then he gets Goliath's sword. So now he's been fed, and now he has a weapon. And then he escapes from this guy named Achish by acting like a complete idiot, like a fool. And in fact, the story says he was making meaningless marks on the gate, and he was letting drool come out onto his beard. And so the people actually thought that he was going crazy, that he was nuts. And so they said, you know, this David guy, he's no threat. We're just going to let him go. I mean, so why did David act like this? It's because of fear. Fear drove him to this behavior. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. So he's alone. He's abandoned. He's on the road run with fear. He acts the fool, and he finds himself in this cave, in a cave where this psalm might have been written. A lot of scholars think this is where the psalm was written. So God, through David, he's going to show us what to do with our fear. You see, the sickness of fear, it's part of life. It just is. There's always going to be something that scares us. There's something that we know we can't control. There's something that's bigger than us, and we're going to be afraid of that thing, whatever it is. And it changes as we go through life. But the gospel is always our remedy for our fears. And so 2 weeks ago, we saw that fear, it acts against us. It moves, it does things to us, and we tend to respond in two different ways, naturally. So first, we act against it by just running hard. Like we turn life into a frenzy. And David's actually done this. He's gone really, really hard. He's run, he's found the bread, he's found the sword, and he's run really, really hard. His life has been a frenzy, and so we do that. There's another thing we also do is we go into hiding. And so this thing, whatever it is, we see that it's bigger than us. We see that we can't defeat it. It acts against us. And we're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go into the cave. Or I'm going to stick my head in the sand. I can't do anything with this. And so maybe David is in this cave, and this is kind of where he's at in this life. And so last week we saw that the remedy, when fear acts against us, the remedy isn't to act back against it by going into a frenzy or going into a hole, but the remedy is to look to God. And so tonight we're going to see something else. We're going to see that fear is speaking against us. And so not only does fear act against us, fear also says things to us. And so fear primarily speaks two things against us. And the first thing is fear tells us that there is no escape. Like, you're never going to get out of whatever situation you're in it. So whatever you happen to be afraid of at this moment, whatever's causing you anxiety, whatever's keeping you up at night, that fear is speaking to you. It's saying something. And here's how it works. Like, when you have that terrible boss with a terrible job and the awful pay, here's what fear will say. Fear will tell you that this is your lot and this is your life because there's just no escape. Fear will tell you that nobody will hire you. Fear will say that the experience you're getting isn't good enough and that your resume just won't count. Fear will say that there's just no escape. This is it. And so this is the idea that fear is saying is no escape. It's actually one of the main features in the horror film industry. I mean, that movie Saw, I mean, they made 8 movies on this whole idea that there's no escape. And so fear speaks. And there's actually a movie called No Escape. And so if you find yourself in some sort of situation and you hear voices in your head saying, like, you are stuck, this is it, there's no getting out, That is just fear that is speaking against you. But there's something else that fear says also. Fear also says that the future is bleak. And so, here's what it says. If you're a student and you find yourself not being accepted as a teenager by your peers, here's what fear will say. Fear, you will start believing that you will never be accepted. If you're in a marriage that seems to be crumbling, fear will tell you that this marriage, it can't get better. It can't. And that it's not going to improve and that the future will always be bleak for you. This is also another main feature at the movies. It's why movies like The Matrix or Hunger Games or Mad Max are popular. It's all those dystopia future things saying the future is bleak. They're tapping into this idea that says the future is bleak, that it's going to get worse. And so you know what? This is what fear does to us. It not only speaks against our present, but it also speaks against our future as well. It says that in the present, there is no escape today. And guess what? It also says the future will stay the same or get worse. That's what fear, those are two primary things that fear says. And here's where the gospel speaks. But the gospel tells us that there is deliverance for today. There is rescue for today, and there's also hope for tomorrow. And so we see this especially in verses 4 through 7, and then again at the end of the psalm. But look what David says about deliverance and hope. Look at verse 6. It starts with, "This poor man cried." And so this really is the beginning of conquering fear as a believer. It's remembering that you are poor. It's overcoming fear means remembering that control is really just a myth. And so even though we long for it, we think we can have it, we pretend that we have it all together, that we're really in control, the reality is that control, or the longing for control, what does it do? It only breeds more anxiety and fear in our lives because control is really just a myth. And so when we think we're in control or we want to be in control, that just causes more and more anxiety because none of us are in control. But in the gospel, we all have to come to the understanding that we are not in control, that we're not God, and we are not sovereign. And we have to realize, like, this is actually really, really good news for our lives. And it's good news because we have a sovereign God who actually is in control. He's a good God. And guess what? He loves his children. And when we realize that, when we realize that he's in control and we're not, then guess we can cry to God. And this is what's happening in David's life. He's crying out to God. He's recognizing his poverty. He's recognizing the fact that, he is not in control and he can't rescue himself from the situation that he's in. So he says, "This poor man cried." And what happened? It says, "And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears him and does what? And delivers them." So do you see it? He's poor. So he cries out to God and he finds that, he is saved from all of his troubles. He finds protection because the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God. And then he finds deliverance. And I want you to see that verse 6, it's, what tense is it? It's past tense. And so this means that David, he's experienced salvation from his troubles. This means that when fear says there is no way, no way out, what does the gospel actually says? The gospel says there is a way out. And so to find that way out, to experience that deliverance, it means that you have to admit that you are the poor man. You are the poor woman who can't do it, who can't rescue themselves. But then there's this another string or another thing that we have to see. We have to see that there is actually hope for tomorrow. And so when fear says that you can't be rescued today and the future is going to be worse, the gospel says there is hope for tomorrow. Look all the way down to verse 19. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Delivers him out of them all. "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." And so these two verses, they're a really honest view of life for us. They first of all, they do tell us that God does provide deliverance for those who fear him, for those who trust him, but there's something else and it's hard to swallow. And let's be honest, it's actually really, really hard to understand. And it's this: God's people will suffer in this life. And so knowing God as your Savior and as your help, it is a key to life. It's the key to life. But it doesn't guarantee that this life is going to be easy. And so in the midst of this life, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, and even death, verse 20 points us to hope. It says he keeps all his bones and not one of them is broken. And so this is speaking to life beyond death. And so David, he's talking about resurrection. He's talking about our ultimate redemption and deliverance from God's final judgment. And so here's the point. If you know God, you don't have to fear death. And here's why this is important. Death is your biggest enemy. It's your biggest enemy in this life. Ed Welch, he puts it this way: our need for, or love for, or trust in, our need for prestige and reputation, it seems so essential. He says our vulnerability in the face of uncertain investments keeps us watching the stock reports every day. And then a day comes that we learn death is close. It may be our own death or the death of someone we love. Either way, our other fears now seem trivial. Death is a stalker that pursues us as a vague presence. And once we see him, our fears are concentrated on death alone. But in the gospel, death is defeated. You don't even have to fear death. You know why? Look at verse 22. What does it say? "The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." Like, how is David able to say that? How does God do this? The Lord redeems his people by the death and resurrection of Jesus. All of this is pointing us to Jesus. The second half of the verse says that no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Why not? Because Jesus has taken the condemnation on our behalf. And because of that, we don't even have to fear death. That's really, really good news. The New York Times recently reported that television commentator Larry King, he's obsessed with death. And so his day actually begins with reading the obituaries, and he ponders who likes to think about who will give the eulogy at his own funeral. He smiles as he thinks it might be Bill Clinton. That's what he's hoping. And then his face becomes blank as he realizes, but I won't be there to see it. And so Larry King, he's had a heart attack, he's had a quintuple bypass, he's had prostate cancer, diabetes, and 7 divorces. He was 77 years old when the television news station CNN dropped him, and when this happened, he really became aware that there will one day come a day when he has to face death. And so he began to act against aging and death. And so he takes hormone pills for human growth, 4 of them every day. He plans on his body to be frozen so that someday he might live again. The New York Times writer who wrote this article reports, it's nuts. That was in the article. But then concedes that King at least has a shred of hope. And Larry King boasts this. He says, other people have no hope. But Larry's wrong, right? He's wrong. What does verse 22 say? The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The Lord redeems his people by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so when fear tells you that there is no way out and that there is no hope for the future, remember the gospel, because the gospel says the exact opposite. The gospel says that the Lord redeems the life of his servants, and you will not be condemned to a future that is worse than it is now. And so when fear grips you, here's what I want you to do. Like when you are gripped with fear, when whatever you're facing looks big, when you realize it is bigger than you and you can't take it on, here's what I want you to do. Rather than minimize that fear or all your fears, I want you to find more of them. Your fears will tell you time and time again what is going on in your heart, what is going on in your soul. Your fears will show you what you care about most. And when you know your fears, when you know what you're actually afraid of, you know yourself. And so listen to your fears. And I want you to invite you to expose your fears and then bring them out into the form, bring them out from the darkness and bring them into the light, because the more you find, guess what? The more you can apply the gospel to the dark places in your soul that we just don't want to bring out. And so the more you fear, you find, or the more you find, and the more you talk to God about, the more you see that God will actually rescue you, the more blessed you will be when you hear words of peace and comfort, which is this. This is the third time we've read it. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our deliverer, that we do not have to save ourselves. And Lord, when the fears of this life grip us, turn our hearts to you and help us remember that you are the Redeemer who saves. Lord, I pray that our fears would drive us closer to you. I pray that our fears would take us into gospel deeps, because they remind us that, guess what, we're not in control and you are. Father, help us trust you more and more, and especially with our fears. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.